I am on the upper playground at Mount Washington Elementary School in first grade, and I'm with my friend Paul, who is breaking off pieces of twig and he's throwing them into a girl's hair. And a teacher takes me aside and she says, "That boy is a bad influence. You shouldn't associate with him." And she's right. Do I listen? No, I do not. Because Paul has some influence on me. I'm powerless against his ideas, against what he wants to do. And I wish I could say that, you know, he's a charismatic guy, but it's just not so. He has a perpetual scowl, kind of dark pupils, and a prominent nose that is always full of green snot. He refuses to clean, to wipe his nose, ever. And his family, now my family has known his family since I was 2, and we moved to Uffington Road in Mount Washington, and his father is our pediatrician. But they tell a story about when Paul was just learning how to talk, and he had some words, but he was sitting in a high chair, and one of his first sentences was, "Where the hell's the goddamn locomotive?" So that's kind of the guy he is. And I'm lucky that the family moves to New England when I'm 9, because otherwise I probably would just keep following him. But as it is, they move, and I only see him one other time, about a year later, when they come back to Baltimore for a wedding. And then they come to see us after that, come to visit. And Paul has stolen cigars from the wedding, and he calls them cancers, and he wants me to go out with him and smoke them. So we do. Go out in the backyard, and he's got a little box, a little silver box of matches with silver heads, and we light them up and smoke them. It must look like knuckleheads, these 2 10-year-olds smoking cigars under the apple tree. The first time I got in trouble with Paul that I remember was when I was 5, and it was a couple days after Christmas, and my family always has a Christmas tree when I'm growing up. Both of my parents are Jewish. My father never had a Christmas tree, but my mother always did, and she had her family had a tradition that the kids, my mother and my uncle, would go to bed on Christmas Eve. There's no tree in sight, and then when they're up in bed, then the parents go get the tree that's, I guess, hidden outside, and they call their friends, and they have this drunken evening dressing the tree. So it's a big deal, and then the tree's there the next morning. So my mother always had a tree, so we always have a tree when I'm growing up. And Paul has seen this tree. Now, it's a few days after Christmas, and everything's put away, and Paul's over for a visit. And he has an idea. He wants to know where the ornaments are, and they're up. They're already in a box in the attic. So we go up there, and he wants to smash them all. So we do. I get the boxes out, and we start smashing the ornaments. And I didn't want to do it, but I did it. And I know I got spanked. I don't know what happened. I don't know what happens to Paul. But the thing that really haunts me is something that happens after kindergarten, when I'm 6. And in my kindergarten class, we have a pair of white rats that are, they're the classroom pets, and we take care of them during the school year. And then as the year winds down, kids are going to take them home. I mean, it's an honor to be able to take the rats home for a week and take care of them, and then they go to somebody else. And I wanted to do it. I love animals, and so my parents agreed to let me have the rats. And I remember a girl named Lisa Sokolo had them first, and then I got them from her. I guess my father goes and gets the rats, and they go down in the basement. So the cage with the 2 white rats is there, and I'm taking care of them. And Paul comes over for a visit. And we are down with the rats, playing with them, and they're gentle animals. They're sweet. I mean, as sweet as rats can be. Paul wants to paint the rats. And so I get out a can of white house paint. I don't know why we would paint the rats white. I don't know. But I get out the can of white house paint, and I get a brush, and we paint these rats. And I immediately feel terrible. They are looking miserable. They're wet, and then they're getting crusty, and it's awful. And I feel just immediately guilty and ashamed. Why did I do this? And Paul gets sent home, and my parents are trying to figure out what to do. Who do they talk to? And I'm just the whole evening. I'm miserable that I've done this. And the next morning, I wake up, and I want to fix it. So I go down to the basement, and I know something about painting. So I get out turpentine and and some rags, and I clean the rats up as best I can. And I go back upstairs. My parents wake up, and I'm sure I reek of turpentine, and the house probably reeks of turpentine. And my father goes downstairs, and the rats are dead, either from the fumes or from licking the turpentine off of them. So I've killed the rats trying to help them. And I've always hated this thing, this story, and my parents have always thought it was cute and funny. And so during my life, I would periodically hear about it, and I'd beg my father especially, don't tell the story. I would just leave the room. I didn't want to hear it because I knew it was, I didn't want to follow Paul, but I did. I didn't want to smoke the cigars. I didn't want to smash the ornaments. I most certainly didn't want to paint the rats, but I did. And it's really only been in the last couple of years, and only sometimes, and only if I think of myself in the third person, that I can begin to forgive that 6-year-old boy. Thank you.